What does a nation that goes bankrupt look like? What will people do when the very financial foundations are destroyed?
When people have no jobs and food prices are unaffordable.
This is Issues in Education. I'm Bob Boyd.
And I'm Jerry Boyd.
The nation's largest banks are going bankrupt. First IndyMac, then Countrywide, then Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, AIG, Washington Mutual, Citigroup, Freddie and Fannie, then Bank of America's on the brink. Then came the $700 billion bailout, and then more bailouts are required.
But who's going to bail out our government?
Well, things get so bad that Americans won't mind the government owning the banks or corporations or private property. Then socialism will have replaced capitalism. With more than 50% of Americans receiving some kind of government money, what if the government runs out of money? Or people no longer accept a piece of paper as having any value?
What happens in a financial crisis or meltdown?
Unemployment, burglaries, bank robberies, default, chaos. And yet, Psalms 27:12 says, "The prudent see danger coming, and they plan and prepare for it. But the simple keep going, and they suffer for it." Dr. Larry Bates is an economist, a former CEO of a chain of three banks, and former member of the Tennessee legislature, where he chaired the Committee on Banking and Commerce. Dr. Larry Bates is the CEO of the Information Radio Network and the USA Radio Network. Dr. Larry Bates is the author of The New Economic Disorder, Strategies for Weathering Any Crisis While Keeping Your Finances Intact.
Recently, you had Pelosi and all the leaders coming out and saying, we are in a dire situation. Unless we do something immediately, everything's going to collapse. I mean, they actually said that. So give us a little update on that.
They were asking for $750 billion, and we started asking questions through our news network. One thing we found out, that Henry Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, was asked exactly what was the data that you used to arrive at the $750 billion. Oh, we had no data. We just told them to pick out a big number. And that's exactly what they did, and we now have $350 billion still sitting in the Treasury. Nothing's been done with them. So if it was so urgent that we passed this, why is that money sitting in the Treasury not being used? It must not have been too much of an urgency.
Basically, we've seen the loss of huge banks, many national banks, and some are just being propped up with government money. And it's interesting, some of these CEOs of these banks have taken the bailout money and given themselves huge bonuses at taxpayers' expense, which to me is the ultimate goal. To take taxpayers' monies and uses it as a bonus for productivity.
Oh, no doubt about it. And that just shows you the pure arrogance of the people at the highest levels of our banking. It's almost like they're the ruling class, the elite. And see, I, as a former bank CEO, have literally created millions of dollars out of thin air with the stroke of my pen, and then I charge interest on that under the fractional reserve banking system. Bob and Jerry, I used to own three licenses to steal. They were called bank charters. Once I understood the unbiblical nature of the banking system, I had to get out of it. We sold our banking operation several years ago. But what we're seeing now is the unbridled greed and gall of the banking establishment saying, hey, we have to be bailed out. Otherwise, dire things are going to happen to you. I briefed several members of Congress on this particular legislation, and I told them, I said, look, if you give the money to the bankers, they're not going to loan it. Here's why. If you're a banker and you've almost gone under because of runs on the bank and you get this pile of money, are you going to lend it? No, you're going to wait till the smoke clears and the dust settles before you loan that money out. It's not going to get to the people. It's simply going to sit in the banks, and they're using it for these bonuses. They're also using it as capital to buy other banks.
Some of these huge banks like Washington Mutual, some of the brokerage companies, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, IndyMac, Freddie Mac, and Fannie Mae, all have come close or have gone bankrupt. This is huge, and this is a major wake-up call.
Oh, it really is, and part of the American arrogance is it can't happen to us. And we have placed so much confidence in a system that is a debt-based economy, a debt-based monetary system, psychological money, and as a result, it's what the prophet Isaiah lamented in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed, for they lack knowledge. What an awesome warning from a holy God.
You open your introduction by saying, the greatest shock of this decade is that more people are about to lose more money than any time before in our history. And I'm thinking, whoa, I mean, look at 1929. Look at even the year 2000, 2001. People lost so much money. And recently, so much wealth has just dissipated. And we're going to see it get worse.
Oh, we really are. And, you know, I just finished Monetary and Economic Review, one of our publications, the lead article, which is entitled Economic and Political Crisis, Perilous Times, A New President, and False Hope. The recent U.S. presidential election that we had, the exit polls showed that people voted for Barack Obama because of the downturn in the economy and hopes that he's going to change things, turn things around. Young woman expressing her support for Obama, saying, quote, "When he is elected, I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car or paying my mortgage. I'll help him, and he, Obama, will help me."
When they came out and said that it's going to collapse and they scared everybody, do you think that was orchestrated to perhaps get Obama into the office? Because I'd heard McCain had just begun to get ahead in the polls.
A lot of people were so desperate that they voted for change, and this is what I've been saying for many years. Things will get so bad that people will give up their political freedoms for a little bit of relief of pain from the economic pain, and that's the problem we face today.
Well, Larry, some people might say, well, how did it happen? Didn't the government force lenders to loan money to people who could not afford a home just to get them in to fulfill a campaign promise? And then when those people couldn't pay their mortgage, then Freddie and Fannie went into this subprime mortgage mess, right?
Sure. We put the cause of the subprime mortgage crisis at the feet of Democratic politicians predominantly and liberal Republicans who were forcing the government-sponsored entity, which was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, to make loans to people who otherwise couldn't get loans, and they never had a chance of paying back the loan. When I taught money and banking for the Bank Administration Institute in the state college system in Tennessee, I used the four C's of credit. That is character, credit, capacity, and collateral. Number one, do you have the character that you look like you'd like to do right? And number two, the credit is your history of doing what you say you would do, paying back your debts. And number three, do you have the capacity to pay the loan back? And number four, collateral, if you fail in all the first three, is there sufficient collateral to make the bank whole? This are the four C's of credit. Now, you had most of these people that didn't have good character, they didn't have good credit, and their capacity was not there to make the loan, then it's a recipe for disaster, and that's exactly what we have seen.
Well, now, last year, in our interview with you, you said that the real estate market would make a comeback in a year or two. Real estate would again turn around. How do you feel about real estate now?
Well, it's going to take about another 18 to 24 months for it to rev back up. You've got to pour a lot of money into it, a lot of fuel on the fire, because it is a wet log, and to get it burning again, you're going to have a lot of fuel. And the fuel of this is money, and they're pumping money like crazy into the economy. But one of the worst things that we have seen is Obama's bailout package, which we estimate will eventually be about $1.3 trillion, is going to make Herbert Hoover look like a genius.
Well, I wonder if real estate really will come back, because if we look at everything, we're propped up by nothing. It's a house of cards ready to fall, and there's nothing really backing anything up. We've got the FDIC, supposedly insured banks, but they don't have the money to pay it back, and it could cause a crash again, worse than the Great Depression.
But see, here's what's going to happen, Jerry and Bob, is that one of two things will happen. Either number one, you'll have a default because there's not enough money to pay back the debt, or number two, you'll have to print the money to pay it back. This is precisely what the Federal Reserve is doing, but we have another catalyst in the equation called the hedge funds. Now, these hedge fund holders are about to get a real haircut. They're going to be getting pennies on the dollar when these things are unwound. That's the next big shock to the economy. A lot of people are losing a lot of money because of unwise investments, but it's going to affect the rest of us. And what the Federal Reserve is going to do to mitigate the economic damage is print up a lot of fresh cash to keep it going.
And tell people what that does. That just causes inflation.
What it really does, when you print up the money, and let me tell you right now, we have increased the money supply by the Federal Reserve. What we know they put into the economy is about $7 trillion. That's almost 100% increase in money supply. That will equate in time to roughly a 50% decline in the value of the U.S. dollar. And we estimate that over the next 2 to 5 years, you will see a 50 to 90% decline in the value of the U.S. currency.
Well, I was just going to say, anybody that goes to the grocery store within the past 2 years can see this firsthand, how much more you're spending for the same amount.
There was a time in history when people took in wheelbarrows full of money to buy a loaf of bread.
Exactly. That period of the German Republic between 1910 and 1923, you would carry a wheelbarrow load of currency and you'd come out of the store and your currency is dumped out and the wheelbarrow is gone.
Boy, that's for sure. You know, we've never heard the word $1 trillion before. I didn't even know such a number existed. But the federal government wants a stimulus package, a massive infusion of near $2 trillion to save the economy. But when in history has government spending restored prosperity?
Never. Of course, what happens is when FDR did the stimulus program, he prolonged the recession for another 10 years. Quite frankly, I think Barack Obama is going to make Herbert Hoover look like a genius.
Oh, my. The Great Depression was planned, wasn't it? It didn't just happen by accident.
Oh, I really believe it was planned because for the 16 months prior to the crash of 29, the Federal Reserve, again, which is neither federal and has doubtful reserves, it's a private bank owned by member banks, the Federal Reserve increased the money supply by 62%. Now, what was happening back in that period of time? People were buying and selling, pledging and borrowing, thinking the good times would never end, the roaring 20s. And then at the time of the crash, the Federal Reserve pulled the money supply. They lowered it. People who had pledged their farms, their homes, their cars, their stocks, their bonds, they lost it all because the cash, the currency, had dried up. People who knew what was going to happen, they had the cash, and they bought vast new empires for pennies on the dollar. And this is what we're seeing right here. Wealth is not destroyed in economic collapse. Wealth is merely transferred, and money is the transfer agent. And that's why people have to understand the times that we're living in. And that's why I wrote the book, The New Economic Disorder, to help people understand and connect the dots of what's going on in the economy.
Well, you mentioned that the government actually hindered the recovery from the Great Depression, actually drew out the Great Depression much longer. Roosevelt and his public works policies, the New Deal policies that I think are much like Obama's. Instead of Reagan's answer to the economic downturn, Obama is going more like President Roosevelt at the time.
Oh, it is. If you watch his rhetoric very carefully, he says, we're going to create 3 million new jobs. He said 80% will be in the private sector. 20% times 3 million is 600,000 new federal bureaucrats he's going to produce. Now, what are they going to do to us?
Audit us, tax us, regulate us.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost a foregone conclusion that the president and the Democrat-controlled Congress are going to propose another 2 to 3 bailout of stimulus programs, probably $1 to $2 trillion. And a trillion is simply 1,000 billion. A billion is 1,000 million. And 1 million is 1,000,000.
Do you know how much money that is? I mean, if you took $100 bills and stacked them on top of each other, would that go around the world a couple of times to make a trillion?
Just about.
Well, we've never had a $1 trillion deficit in 1 year, but we're sure headed for one now. And Obama says that we better get used to it because he told reporters potentially we've got $1 trillion deficits for years to come, even with the economic recovery that we're working on. How long can a nation survive $1 trillion deficits?
Oh, you can't. You cannot. But what we learn from history is that we don't learn from history.
Oh, boy, you've got some powerful statements in your book, The New Economic Disorder, and here's a few. Life as we have known it in the United States is about to change drastically. Those are sobering words, Larry.
Yeah, they really are. But let's take a look at what will happen. Many of these proposals that Obama is proposing will resemble those of former Presidents Herbert Hoover, a Republican, and Franklin Roosevelt, a Democrat. And, of course, following the stock market crash in 29, the Hoover administration tried, as Obama is trying to do, to spend their way out of the mess. And it didn't work. And Roosevelt continued the massive federal spending and expansion of the government bureaucracy. But despite all the massive spending, fewer Americans had jobs in 1940 than they did in 1929. And after the stock market crash of 29, it took 25 years for holders of most shares just to break even to their pre-cash values. Roosevelt's New Deal really prolonged the recession for another 10 years.
So you have to think about it. What does a person do if they get laid off now? What do they live on? Savings? Unemployment insurance? What if that doesn't cover their mortgage or doesn't pay their property taxes? Where are they going to live? How are they going to buy food? I mean, these are really drastic times we're headed for.
They really are. Learn how to do something with your hands, something that you can barter a skill with. Out in Colorado, it was 30 below one morning, and this surgeon had to go do surgery, and his pipes were frozen. So he calls the plumber, and the plumber comes out, spends about 15 minutes, thaws the pipes, and gives the surgeon a bill for $500. Surgeon went through the roof. He said, "That's ridiculous. That's more than I make as a doctor." Plumber looked at him and said, "Yep, more than I was making as a doctor, too."
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
What I'm saying is, you lose your job, start a home-based business. Look for something where you can find an economic niche. Don't look for a job, just go to work. That's the main thing.
You know what? If we really are living in the last days, last times, which you say we could be, so it wouldn't matter if you had gold or silver, would it? I mean, you're saying to cash in all your assets, your CDs, your stocks, your bonds, your money market funds, and get gold and silver, but would it really help? I mean, if it's that desperate.
Yeah, we're not saying that Jerry cash in all your stocks, bonds, and put it in gold. That's not biblical. Now, as far as stocks and bonds, we've recommended our readers and our listeners to be out of that a year or more ago, and you wouldn't have had this downturn in the stock market if you were out of the market. What we're saying is cash at the crash will be king. That's cash in your money funds, your CDs, and cash in your precious metals. There's a balance between them. Why do you even have precious metals? The only reason for that, it happens to be money. It is money in any circumstance. There will always be trade and commerce going on. There's nothing magic about gold and silver. It just happens to be the only monetary asset that's not somebody else's liability. It's real money. Anything else is credit.
So are you saying it's okay to have cash in your CDs and money market funds, or to cash in those?
It's okay to have them.
Okay.
You don't want to put all your eggs in any one basket. You want to be diversified. But I'd definitely be out of bonds right now. I'd be out of stocks.
Okay.
Because the stocks, the only thing that gives stocks any value is earnings. And when we have a downturn in the economy, if you don't have earnings, you don't have value to the stock other than liquidated value.
Okay, now what about gold mining stocks or gold stocks? Wouldn't that be almost the same as having gold?
Not really, because you have a piece of paper that evidences your share of ownership in a company, a mining company. If you got to have paper, it's probably the best paper you can have, but you're depending on somebody else's performance. That happens to be an investment. Gold and silver is not an investment. It's your money. Pull a $20 bill or 10 or 5 or 50 or 100 out of your wallet. Look at it. Do you consider that an investment?
No.
No, it's your money. Gold happens to be a solid, hard form of that.
Well, wait a minute. What difference does it matter if you have gold mining stock? I mean, you still own a portion of the gold in that company versus having gold in a coin under your bed.
Well, if you have a mining share, it's not money. It's an investment. Your house is an investment. You can't use it as money.
Yeah, but you can't use a gold coin to go to the grocery store and buy food.
Not now you can, but one of these days you'll probably the only thing they will take.
We'll get to the bartering system then, but I was just going to say, if it gets so bad, it seems like your CDs aren't going to be backed up by the Federal Reserve. They're not going to have the money to let you have your money.
When I challenged the FDIC with the fact that they can only cover about 1.5 cents on the dollar of their deposit fund liabilities, they say, yes, but we have direct borrowing authority from the United States Treasury, which is true. But where does the Treasury get the money? It either has to tax the money, borrow the money, or have the Federal Reserve print the money. You'll get paid back, but you got to worry about what it's going to buy for you when you get paid back. The gold and silver, they just happen to go up and down in value as it relates to paper currency.
But you said that cash in a crash is king, but you also said, what if you went to the grocery store to buy a bag of 5-pound bag of sugar and poured the sugar out and said, just give me the bag? That's what we've done with our currency. It's not backed by gold or silver.
That's right. But you see, people determine what money is and what money is not. Not governments, not even central banks, but people ultimately determine what money is. The Federal Reserve notes happens to be the currency of choice of our country right now. I have Federal Reserve notes in my wallet. But also, when I travel, particularly overseas, I carry gold and silver in my briefcase. People say, why do you do that? Well, it's real simple. The dollar may collapse, and I want to get back home.
Sure, to buy an airplane ticket.
Exactly. It's money in any language, in any currency. Gold is money. Silver is money. Anything else is credit.
Just for a joke, at Hallmark, we bought a $1 million bill, and I give it occasionally to people to pay for the bill at the restaurant. And they always get a laugh, and I say, well, how is that paper any different than any other piece of paper?
Good question, because the Federal Reserve has a monopoly on counterfeiting.
Yeah, I'm just helping out the government here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen to oil stocks? Will they go up if the price of a barrel of oil goes up?
They will perhaps go up. Simply, it's based on earnings. And if they are making earnings where people are buying a lot more fuel at a lower price, they're still going to make their margins. So oil shares would be a fairly good place to be.
So would that be a recommendation of yours?
It would be. I wouldn't establish new positions, but I'd hold on to what I had.
Do you see the interest rate going up or down?
It will go up in the future. Now, what we're probably going to see is the Federal Reserve lower the interest rates to zero to kickstart the economy. All of the stimulus that we're doing right now, whether it be Obama stimulus package or whether it be the Federal Reserve injecting $7 trillion into the banking financial system, this is nothing but the economic equivalent of crack cocaine for the economy. Eventually, you're going to be back for more.
It's a morally challenged nation, as we called one of our programs. What if the government makes homosexual marriage legal?
If you'll notice, a lot of these bad things that are happening, look at the governors who are asking for bailout. Arnold Schwarzenegger asking for a $48 billion bailout. governors of Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York. These are governments that are all favorable to homosexual marriage, and they can't keep their act together financially. In fact, all of these governors collectively asked for a $1 trillion bailout, and they're not willing to cut their spending.
Well, I thought what was interesting was your account of visiting the UN building.
Started out at the front entrance of the United Nations complex is the United Nations Meditation Room. Off to the right as you come in, a large stained glass mural depicting all the religions of the world coming together in one. There's a likeness of Jesus up in the left-hand corner, but in the very center is a big old serpent. And I believe that everywhere you went at the United Nations, there was an Antichrist concept everywhere you went. See, in order for the New World Order to succeed, they have to kick God off the throne and put man on. And this is where Obama comes in. Obama is a pure Marxist. Obama has been steeped in the training of liberation theology. That's where you use Christian symbols of theology, but a Marxist view of history.
It used to be that we took it for granted that socialism, communism, these were bad words, but with the younger people now, they don't think these are bad terms. They really don't understand how socialism and communism makes everybody equal, equally poor.
That's right. If the government can give you everything you want, they must take everything you've got to pay for it. There's no other way to get it. They have to take it because government has no money that it first did not take from somebody else.
How do we help people avoid becoming poor?
First of all, ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding. Keep in tune to good programs like Issues in Education.
Amen.
That provides meat for you to consume. Even contribute to where you're getting fed with this program. Make a nice contribution to Issues in Education. You can certainly get our books, The New Economic Disorder. We have video teaching Your Money, Your Future, How to Avoid Becoming Poor. It's a documentary on the Federal Reserve. We have a new set of videos called Economic and Political Crisis, Strategies to Avoid Losing Your Financial and Political Freedom.
Now, what's your website, or how can people get some of these resources you've got?
You can go to economictruth.tv. That's www.economictruth.tv.
Okay, and on a phone number, an 800 number?
800-336-7000.
That's 800-336-7000, and should they speak with you? Or
talk to anybody in the publications division. And right now, we even show you the phase that we're in. It's the destabilization phase, and that's to last 2 to 5 years. And then we come into the crisis phase.
Well, the scripture says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And certainly we want this nation to be blessed by God and not destroyed by God or allowed to self-destruct on its own.
What we have to do is we have to be faithful to occupy till the Lord returns. God's people, see, what's happened here is the institution that calls itself the church has been influenced more by the world system than the other way around. That's got to change.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, you can see that just because of the outcome of this recent election. We were shocked.
Again, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for they lack knowledge. What do you expect? You have 2 or 3 generations been educated in the government schools where they can tell you all about global warming, but they don't have a clue how the economy works. This is something that's been by design for a long time. John Dewey and a lot of his socialist buddies have planned this thing to take our kids, and this is where you're going to see coming in the Obama administration. I think part of the bailout plan would be money for early childhood education.
It's another thing that just gripes me is the fact that he had the choice to choose to educate his children in a private school, both in Chicago and now in Washington, D.C., and yet the Democrats are just so against any choice for the parents.
Exactly. See, this is what the elite want to do. They say, do what we say, not what we do.
All right, Larry, we got it, brother.
Lord bless you guys. Good questions. I tell you what, you guys have got it together.
All right, brother.
Well, you do.
We have to try to get on your level.
All right.
Our guest has been economist Dr. Larry Bates, author of The New Economic Disorder. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. But you need to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Look at how God feeds the birds. But who wants to eat bird seed, right?
Right.
Hey, the point is, God takes care of the birds, and he can surely take care of you. Jesus said, don't worry. Trust in God. What good is your faith if you don't exercise it during a financial crisis?
Jesus said, if your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Well, of course you wouldn't.
Well, your Heavenly Father knows how to supply our needs.
During this financial crisis, more people will reach out for God's help. And this means many of those we've been praying for will come to the end of their money and the end of doing it for themselves, and they will seek out God. A financial downturn may be the only hope for those who are self-reliant. This economic crisis could change the eternal destinies of many people, maybe even you. Turn to the one who knows you and who has provided for you all your life, and he will take care of you. Do it now.
Amen. If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1091, The Economic Crisis. That's number 1091, The Economic Crisis. We offer a discount for multiple copies, and you can order or download or email us from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org.
Or you can call us toll-free. That number is 888, the word issues, and the number 9. That toll-free number is 888, the word issues, and the number 9. Or write to us at Issues in Education, P.O. Box 12555 in Prescott, Arizona, 86304. That address again, Issues in Education, P.O. Box 12555 in Prescott, Arizona, 86304.
And here's one of my all-time favorite scriptures from Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go forth boldly.